morning and welcome to Running for Christ Ministries Sunday School class. My name is Deacon Mackey, and I'll be your teacher this morning. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you as we gather this morning to dig into your word, to learn more and strengthen our relationship with you, Father. Thank you for all those who are participating, and we pray that this class is pleasing to you in every way. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. This morning.
Before we get started, let me say something real quick. Hey, everybody, I want you to go ahead and press 1 now if you're going to take part in the Sunday school class. You know the format, how it usually works. All you have to do is press 1. Okay, we got people press 1. You know how we do this, right? Please keep your background noise to a minimum. Amen. Amen. Okay, so take it away, Dr. Mackey.
All right. Thank you, Pastor O. This morning, we will begin part 1 of the Holy Spirit and the Church. I'll read our memory verse. It comes from John chapter 14, verse 17. I'll be reading the New Living Translation. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you, amen. Okay, some of you may have a handout that we passed out in church. For others who don't, just go along, and if you have any input or questions, just feel free to speak up. Okay, we'll begin with, he empowers the church, and this comes from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Then our question asks, what does the empowering of the Holy Spirit include? And if anyone would like to, I have three examples. I have John 15:27, if someone could pull that up. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And Luke 24, chapter 48. Okay, and we have a note here on the handout. This is a witness. In Hebrew, the word aid, E-I-D, Greek word martus, it literally means to watch something important or amazing happen and then testify about it. Okay, so we'll go to Luke 15. Verse 27, and it reads as follows. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father killed. Oh, I'm sorry, that's, I meant John. My apologies. There we go. It says, and as you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. So here it speaks of the Holy Spirit empowering you to testify. Take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to. So here's an example of the Holy Spirit enabling you to speak in tongues. And now we'll go over to Luke.
I have that one.
24. Okay. How you doing?
It's 24:48. Luke 24:48 says, "You are witnesses of all these things." And it says, "You are witnesses of all these things."
Thank you. And here it is, Tip. Well, the Holy Spirit empowers you to be a witness.
Okay. Good morning, Deacon Mackey.
Good morning.
So I have a question. I just want to review. The first one is empowered to testify, and the second one is empowered to speak in tongues?
Speak in tongues. Yes.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. All right. Let's take a look at question number two. It says, the Holy Spirit arrives. And for this, we're going to take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. And it reads as follows. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've had too much wine. So our question asks, who witnessed the arrival of the Holy Spirit? And what were their responses? Well, as we read through verses 5-10, at that time living there, there were Jews from all over and converts as well. So at this time, there were many, many living there from different regions and all spoke in different tongues. So you can imagine at that time, there may have been some confusion, but once the Holy Spirit came upon them, everyone heard the same message. And God had told them with Jesus before he went to the cross, he had spoken to them, and now his words are coming true. So anyone have any questions? Input?
Well, you know me. I have some input. I'm telling you, this is why the Lord don't let me come to class on Sunday morning. But anyway, that's a whole other story. But anyway, yeah, this is some powerful stuff right here. The promised Holy Spirit, as we read in Luke 24, the promise of the Father in that verse 49, has come to pass, and people have been filled with the Holy Spirit. One of the biggest differences you see with the Holy Spirit enabling you to be able to do something, remember what Peter couldn't do without the Holy Spirit? Remember that he belonged to Jesus? Three times he had an opportunity to remember he belonged to Jesus. After he had been told by Jesus that he was going to run away and deny Jesus. But, of course, he refuted that and said, no, if all these do, I'm not. Okay? But now the Holy Spirit has come. And now the same Peter, along with the others, the same Peter steps forward, and they start doing things they couldn't do. They're speaking in languages that they didn't go to school to learn. But they have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak those languages. And the reason the Holy Spirit gave them known languages, these are not unknown tongues, but these are known tongues. If they were unknown tongues, the Lord would have commanded them to speak in silence unless they had an interpreter. In this case, they didn't need an interpreter because God enabled them through the power of the Holy Spirit to speak languages they hadn't learned to people who were there with languages they didn't know. And so they were able to perform a kind of miracle, and God used that to get people's attention. And now that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, God has given them the power they need to reach these people. And that's some awesome stuff right there, and it means the same thing to us, that we are enabled by the Holy Spirit to do things that we cannot do in and of ourselves. But he will use those things to make people pay attention to us, to validate us, so they'll listen. Amen. That's some good stuff. I love the Holy Spirit, so that's why I had to jump in there and say something.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, uh-huh. Mickey, I got something real quick. So when I'm looking at, well, let me go back to it. When I look at verses 1 to 3, you know, our finite minds as human beings don't allow us to, like our imagination only goes so far. You know what I'm saying? We can imagine things, mm-hmm. but it really only goes so far. But when I look at verses 1 to 3 and then it says, all the believers were meeting together. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm. Like we, you know, there was just a hurricane that came through down in Florida and up the East Coast. And, you know, they had winds of upwards of 160, 170, 200 miles an hour.
Yes.
And, I mean, it's uprooting houses and moving cars like it's just a leaf. And when you think about the sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm. And then it says in verse 3, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. I mean, my God, to have been present during that day, during that time, because we're reading about it after the fact, but to actually have been present and to see that, I mean, I just would love to have been a fly on the wall just to see the reaction of people, because how do you even, I guess for us today, I mean, I guess for me today, like how, I just think about how I would have reacted to seeing something that is just so supernatural. Like, and then it's,
right.
it's saying like the roaring of a mighty wind, what looked like flames or tongues, and this is just the best and most accurate description that they could give about something that happened that is almost inexplainable. You know, and even what they explain
mm-hmm.
is still, like, so much. So my mind is always blown because it's like, you know, we try to imagine it because we weren't there, and it was just as amazing to them. And I just wish I could have just been a fly on the wall just to really see, because we're just getting examples of what it looked like. But
right.
to actually have been a part of it, I mean, my God, how amazing could that have been? I just think about
yeah,
that, like how amazing.
Like you say, it's hard to even imagine.
Yes, it is. I don't know if I'd have been scared or what, but I don't know. All right, I just wanted to point that out. I thought that was pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Next says, the Holy Spirit empowers. And we'll be reading Acts 2, 14 through 41.
I'll read that if you like, Matt.
Okay, well, thank you.
Okay. And it says, then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, listen carefully, all of you, fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistakes about this. These people are not drunk, as some of you assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. And I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and clouds of smoke. The sun will become dark, and the moon will turn blood red before that great and glorious day of the Lord arrives. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. People of Israel, listen. God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in the grip. King David said this about him: I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. He is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence. Dear brothers, think about this. You can be sure that the patriarch David wasn't referring to himself, for he died and was buried, and his tomb is still here among us. But he was a prophet, and he knew God and promised with an oath that one of David's own descendants would sit on his throne. David was looking into the future and speaking of the Messiah's resurrection. He was saying that God would not leave him alone, the dead, or allow his body to rot in the grave. God raised Jesus from the dead, and we are all witnesses of this. Now, he is exalted to the place of highest honor in heaven at God's right hand. And the Father, as he had promised, gave him the Holy Spirit to pour out upon us, just as you see and hear today. For David himself never ascended into heaven, yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, the children, and to those far away, all who have been called by the Lord our God. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. And now, our question asks us, what was the first thing the Holy Spirit empowered Peter to do, and what was the result? Well, the Holy Spirit empowered him to remember Scripture. It brought Scripture to his remembrance. The Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
put a word into Peter, and
mm-hmm.
he preached his first sermon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the result was the beginning of the church. He added 3,000 to their number.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the same Holy Spirit that we have in us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Gave him the power to be that witness right quick. So he stepped up, boldly and courageously, because even now today, we have such a hard time with witnessing. We're worried about what people think, how people will feel, what they'll think about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not bold and we're not courageous, and we don't use the power in us, with no fear. We always are, when it comes to witnessing, or should I tell them about Jesus? I don't know. They might think or might feel, but it wasn't like that with Peter. That he stepped forward and shouted to the crowd. We don't do that. We don't do that to get people's attention. We'd be good to talk to one person, pull them to the side and be like, hey, let me talk to you about Jesus. He shouted to the crowd. So he was like bold, courageous, unafraid, and, just full of ability and full of power. And so that's something that we need to be reminded of, that we can speak the word without being afraid and without being concerned about what people think. We need to be
mm-hmm.
bold like this for Jesus, for sure.
Yeah, and that's what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. It's just
Amen.
A matter of us hearing and listening to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Like Pastor O was just saying, this man not too long ago denied Jesus 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have Bibles back then.
Mm-hmm.
These are all things he learned growing up and learned with Jesus. So he, the Holy Spirit brought to his remembrance the same way he'll do it for you and I.
Amen.
Have to study his word, develop that relationship, and you'll be able to quote scripture just as he did and speak boldly
mm-hmm.
and be a witness for him is what we're supposed to do when we receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right.
Deacon
Mackey, hi, Crystal.
Yes.
Hey, good morning.
I think that God will put people in your path that he wants you to witness to, and he'll give you what it is you need to say to that person to witness to him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, very true.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I love about this passage is it's a fulfillment of John 14:26, I believe it is where Jesus said that when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll bring to your remembrance whatever I said to you. That's why
exactly.
We have to really do what we're doing right now, dive into the Word of God and let it become a part of us. We don't have to worry about memorizing it. What we have to do is make sure we have, just like stuff you have in your refrigerator, okay? When you need some milk, it's there. When you need some eggs, they're there, okay? You remember they're there, right? And so that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. When we get that stuff, I heard one preacher say you ought to go to church with like a shopping bag, okay? And when the preacher started preaching or the choir started singing or the praise team started praising, open up your bag and expect to receive. Then what you need, how women do sometimes, they got it. It's in that purse. They probably got a refrigerator, a stove, and everything in there. They say, let me look at my purse. Amen? And they will come out of there with some everything. I'm like, you got a car in your purse? Yeah, I might need it. Amen.
Yep.
But that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. Notice, like you say, Deacon Mackey, the word was in Peter. Okay, it was there, but without the Holy Spirit, he couldn't even remember Jesus' name. But over here, he's preached the whole sermon, and look how deep Peter was in the Word. The Holy Spirit didn't magically give him those scriptures. Those were things that he had inculcated into himself, into his being, right? And now the Holy Spirit is saying, say this, remember that? Say this. And then you begin to see how deep Peter was in the Word, that the Holy Spirit was able to bring to his remembrance everything that came out of his mouth. And that's where I first learned My pastor, Reverend Alfred L. Davis, is the one who really taught me how to do this, is to preach without notes, teach without notes. That's what he did. He taught me if I get it in me, the Holy Spirit will bring it out of me. And so that's one of the things that happened right there for Peter. Peter didn't pull up a podium, open up his Bible, like you say, Deacon Mackey, he ain't had no Bible. And he didn't, you know what I'm saying, say, now let me read to you. No, let me speak to you. So that's what God wants to do with each and every one of us. He wants to get the word in us so deep that no matter where we are, what we're doing, he can just bring it out of us whenever he needs to. Because as you read through the book of Acts, you're going to see that happen a lot.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And well, Pastor O assisted us in question number 4. It said, what words of Jesus did his action fulfill? And that was John 14:26. And also if you look at chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And as their ministry will expand, they will travel. But also, if you remember, they already had people there from different regions. So even before they began to travel, him preaching that word that day began to fulfill Jesus' words here. Amen. Okay. I have a few verses here. If anyone would like to assist, we're going into section 5, and it says, the Holy Spirit empowers. And we're going to read Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Okay, then we have Acts chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. And last, okay, thank you. And last is chapter 4, verses 31 through 36.
I'll get that.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It says, Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. Each day he was put beside the temple gate, the one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, look at us. The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astounded. Amen.
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 Okay. 4:8-12.
Verse 4:8-12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Amen.
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 So 31, chapter 4, 31 to 36. It says, after this prayer, the meeting place shook, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Then they preached the word of God with boldness. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There were no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. For instance, there was Joseph, the one the apostles nicknamed Barnabas, which means son of encouragement. He was from the tribe of Levi and came from the island of Cyprus. 36. But I can read 37. He sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles. Amen.
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 Amen. Thank you. Now, we this question has A, B, and C. That's why we had those we had those three different sections of X. It says, what other things did the power of the Holy Spirit allow them to do? And if we read in 3, 1 through 10, he empowered them with the ability to heal the lame beggar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was the power of the Holy Spirit in them. You know, he didn't have money or gold, but he gave them something better. Mm-hmm. And then B, the 4, 8 through 12, he spoke boldly, proclaiming God's word. And, you know, the Holy Spirit brought it to his remembrance and gave him the power and the inspiration for those words. I mean, we spoke about that previously, but this is just another example of the Holy Spirit giving his ability to speak boldly.
Mm-hmm.
He's standing in front of the council, you know, but he's there's no fear there, because he's being led by the Holy Spirit. He's doing God's work. You know, when you speak from the Holy Spirit, those words are coming from God to you.
Mm-hmm.
So in C, as we read in 4:31-36, they're operating in love. This is a representation of God in his people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was in those biblical times or now, there's no community where, you know, there's no community where people are just selling what they own and taking the money, giving it to someone to disperse as needed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have always been out for self, but when you have the Holy Spirit and you operate according to the Holy Spirit, being led by it, this is the outcome.
Amen. Amen. So can I point something out? Can I point something out too? Like chapter 3:1-10. So, you know, we've all seen the homeless guy on the side of the road holding up a sign. You know, we give him some money, we drive off, there's no real communication. But in this case, not only did they engage the man, they didn't give him any money, because they could have just gave him money and walked off, assuming that that's all he wanted or all he needed. But not only did they talk to the man and healed him, but he got a twofer. He got healed, and then he pretty much was convinced or knew, like it said in verse 8, he jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple. So he knew not only that he was healed, but he knew where his healing came from. And it was past Peter and John where his healing came from. he knew that it came from God, because it said, it could have just said been walking, leaping, and saying thank you to Peter and John. But it said he began walking and leaping and praising God, and he went into the temple with them. So it's like we always say, yes, we know where our help comes from. So this man, he knew where his help came from. He knew that it came past Peter and John and came from the Lord. So he got a twofer that day. He didn't just get money or silver or gold. He got healed, and he got him some Jesus at the same time, because he was in that temple and he was praising God. So that's what we need to remember, not just to give a person what we think that they need, or to just give them simply what they're asking for, but being led by the Holy Spirit to give them Jesus. Because it's so much more than what they could be asking for.
And actually, Crystal, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
The lame man, he was a witness.
Mm-hmm.
He witnessed for
yes.
Jesus. And
amen.
Also, he displayed his testimony.
Yes, he did.
God
yes,
healed
he did.
Him. And he got up and he walked, showed everybody that
mm-hmm.
what God can do for you.
Yes, yes.
All you have to
amen.
Do is ask.
Amen.
And he
amen.
Witnessed for the Lord.
Amen.
And
yes.
it's not always in words. It's not always in words. It could be in deeds and the life you live and how you live.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. You yes. know, Mother, amen. If I could jump on that, you hit the nail on the head. Peter and them used words, right, when they
mm-hmm.
took that opportunity to preach a sermon since they got everybody's attention. But this
mm-hmm.
man,
mm-hmm.
all he did was leap and praise God for what the Lord has done. So he was lame, right, before he
mm-hmm.
got his healing from Jesus. All of us, if you will, are lame. But what he did is what's written over there in 1 Thessalonians verses 11 and 12. Y'all hear me say it all the time. Seek to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. And that's nonverbal, all of it. And that means, and the Lord said, you'll get the respect of those who are on the outside. And that's just what that man did. Peter and them didn't have to tell him to go tell what Jesus did for you. I remember when Pastor Janice Tate was trying to teach us to develop a one-minute sermon or a three-minute sermon, something like that, right? Just write it down so you can say it real quick. It's your testimony. It's what Jesus did for you. That's all he did. Is go and show people what Jesus did for him. And guess what? He brought all them people back to Peter. And Peter
amen.
Went on and preached that sermon. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's some powerful
amen.
Stuff right
yeah.
there. He just got yeah. saved, received the Holy Spirit, and then there you go. There you go.
Right.
Lord have mercy.
Already.
And we've been saved for how long? And how many people we told about Jesus and what he did for us? I shouldn't even ask that, huh?
Don't get us today, Pastor. Don't get us today. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. All right. Next, we'll be reading Acts chapter 5, 1 through 11, and the Holy Spirit empowers discipline.
Mm-hmm. Ananias and Sapphira, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. But there was a certain man named Ananias who, with his wife Sapphira, sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor and died. Everyone who heard about it was terrified. Then some young man got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, was this the price you and your husband received for your land? Yes, she replied, that was the price. And Peter said, how could the two of you even think of conspiring to test the Spirit of the Lord like this? the young man who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too. Instantly, she fell to the floor and died. When the young man came in and saw that she was dead, they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what had happened. And Lord have mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lot. And
wow.
Question number six asks us, right, what were the sins of Ananias and Sapphira?
Mm-hmm.
Lying to the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Lord have mercy.
Dishonesty and greed. They purposely and willingly lied to the Holy Spirit.
Because they wanted to look like they gave more than they did. They wanted to appear generous.
Right. They wanted to look good to the people. Not knowing the Holy Spirit is watching the whole time, because Peter knew. Mm-hmm. How else would he know? The Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And then, right, and that's question number seven. Why were they disciplined so severely? Because they knowingly lied to God. If I can get some help from two people, Deuteronomy 23:21 and 1 Corinthians 10:9.
I got 1 Corinthians 10:9.
You said Deuteronomy what now?
Chapter 23, verse 21.
I got it.
Thank you.
No problem. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him, for the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin.
Amen.
That sums it up.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 10:9 says, nor should we put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and then died from snake bites.
So they hear, this is a perfect example. They put God to the test. They had a vow. They made a vow and didn't live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even when he called his wife in, you know, she didn't take and say, well, you know what? No, this is what we actually got for the house. Here's the rest of the money. She stood on that lie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sound like some old Adam and Eve foolishness to me. I'm just saying.
Well, they stuck together.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Just saying.
Yeah. All right. Next, we're going to move on. It says the Holy Spirit empowers examination in the church. And we have four different examples. It's 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. First John chapter 5, verses 5 through 13, and Revelation chapter 2, verse 23.
I got 1 John 5.
I'll be first. I'll
read.
I got 1 Samuel.
I'll read. Okay. I'll read Revelation.
All right.
First Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Samuel's picking the anointing of the next king, David.
First, okay. And you ready for that one? 11?
Yes.
Corinthians 11:27-32.
Correct.
Yes. So, it says, so anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you drink the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I got 1 John 5:5-13. And it says, and who can win this battle against the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross, not by water only, but by water and blood. And the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. So we have these three witnesses, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and all three agree. Since we believe human testimony, surely we can believe the greater testimony that comes from God. And God has testified about his Son. All who believe in the Son of God know in their hearts that this testimony is true. Those who don't believe this are actually calling God a liar because they don't believe what God has testified about his Son. And this is what God has testified. He has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have God's Son does not have life. I have written this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know you have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
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 Revelation 2:23. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I am the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person, and I will give to you, to each of you, whatever you deserve. Amen.
Amen. Now here we have, we were going over the Holy Spirit. It empowers examination in the church, and we have four examples here. Now, from 1 Samuel 16:7, that one was kind of clear, not to judge an outward appearance, which is what the majority of people do. You know, they see someone with tattoos or braids or, someone who has, glasses and a pocket protector. We always call them nerds. So we thought they were going to be a certain way, but God does not. That's not how God examines us.
Yeah.
Thank God. Right. So this is an example of which let the Holy Spirit guide us when we're meeting people or seeing people.
Mm-hmm.
Our second one from 1 Corinthians, that's self-judgment. Because, we go in on first Sunday, we take communion knowing some of us what we did the night before, some of us what was on our mind as we walked into church. And, that verse of scripture was telling us you have to examine yourself. The self-judgment there before you partake in, communion.
Amen.
And as we read 1 Corinthians, that was an examination of the teachings and what the church really believed. You know, so we, as we've been taught, you know, you have to go to a good Bible-based church.
Yeah.
Not where they're picking out what they want to preach and twisting it to make it fit their motive.
Mm-hmm.
And then for our last example, I have three verses. I can read them. But the last one is the examination of the heart. That's what I got from Revelation 2:23. And first I will read Proverbs 24, verse 12. It reads, don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know, for God understands all hearts and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you. He will repay all people as their actions deserve. This is examination, you know, just an example of God knowing your heart. People try to use different excuses, but he knows our hearts. And that's the first thing we want to say, you know, people have said, well, God knows my heart. Yeah, he does. So,
he sure does.
Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10. But I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due reward according to what their actions deserve. And lastly, I will read Luke chapter 16, verse 15. And it reads, then he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. So this a few examples that I've seen where it shows God is examining our heart. So it's important that we read, we study, we're saved, so the Holy Spirit is already in us. We just have to listen and obey the Holy Spirit. That
Amen.
That was our final question. As we we'll get ready to start preparing for service, but I thank all who participated and all who listened, and thank the Holy Spirit for this lesson and guiding us through this lesson.
Yes.
So I pray us out. Yes. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity this morning to come together and learn more about the Holy Spirit, Father. And I hope we all take something away from here that brings us closer to you, and that we all just continue to move forward in your word and study and be obedient. And we hope that this class was pleasing to you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen. Wow, that was a very, very good lesson, Deacon Mackey. Study to show yourself approved. God will bring back remembrance to what it is that we're supposed to remember to witness, and just go out and witness. And we could tell others about, you know, our Bible study, our Sunday school, you know, that we're having. And God knows everything about us, everything. So we can't fool God. We cannot. So it's up to us to just always do the right thing and read God's word and just be committed and serious about it and truthful. Very good lesson, Deacon Mackey. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank everybody that participated. Yes, very good lesson. And, you know, we appreciate you. So we appreciate you, and just have a good day. Thanks for the lesson. Okay. Hey, get your coffee, your tea, your cookies, your crumpets, And following this next election, we will start a morning service. Amen.
Thank you.
This is your house, Father. Come and dwell. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Sunday morning worship service. I am Cassidy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Sunday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in and who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer. And at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital. And the word of God tells us so. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own sister, Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Take it away.
Okay, so I'm going to read the scriptures for today. Our 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. That's 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 16, and it's titled Wisdom from God. This is what the scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Let us pray. God our Father, we ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service now or later. Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We pray that our songs, prayers, and the preached word lifts up Jesus so that all those who are lost today will be found today. We ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Johnson. You know we appreciate you. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
every time I hear that song, I think of three people. Our assistant pastor, Janice Tate, my cousin, Madeline Alice.
Change has come over.
radical change. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing when Jesus shows up in your life. I apologize for getting emotional right there. Not really, but when I think of that song, High and Lifted Up, and, you know, I immediately think of the first persons I heard sing it, and that was Janice Tate, Alice Tate, Alice Perry, amen, and Madeline Tate, who is in heaven now. And that song, every time I hear it, takes me straight to the throne room like Isaiah before the Lord, amen, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up. The song changed, amen. I want to thank Aletris Cowan, and I still remember seeing Sharon Abraham rocking back and forth, singing that as she was in the pastor's course at First Baptist Church. And I'm thinking about my sister right now when I play this song. Her name is Cheryl Hamilton, and she's sitting by the bedside of her husband, Tyrone Hamilton. And I remember her standing up in front of our church before she became a 24/7, 365 caregiver, amen, singing this song. I grew up with her. I knew she could sing because I used to see them doing that on the porch, but I didn't know that she could sing, amen, like she sang at Running for Christ Ministries. And this was one of the songs that she led along with the praise team at our church. Amen.
Come on, lift those hands for real in here. Come on. nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus. Nobody greater than nobody greater, no.
Nobody greater than you.
Now lift those hands, singer, and let's just give him the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater than you.
I dare you lift your hand and say that with us tonight. Come on. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you, Lord. Yes. It's okay, Pastor Joe. You have us all emotional. But it's happy emotions, though. And we thank you. We thank you for all those blessings and songs and faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Amen. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar. Tune in. Get close. Get it off of you. And tell God all about it. Okay? Prepare to receive Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
My heart started pounding as I listened to what I was saying, cause in my head I never thought it could happen to me. But I recall what I was taught in the 34th chapter of the book of Psalms. In spite of our afflictions, he'll deliver us from them all. My trust hard sometimes, and when those moments come, I'll rest within your arms and give you praise for what's about to come. No matter how long it takes, I'll never give up my praise. So while I wait, I'll be patiently praying.
No matter how long it
Bible says in the book of James, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord will raise them up once again. Yeah, that encourages me to praise him along the way.
Wonderful, brand new, praise-filled day. We thank you for allowing us to come together to praise you as I've listened to these songs and as you reminded me on my walk this morning that you created this world for us to have dominion over. And you did this for us. And you allowed me to look out at the different colors of the leaves, to watch the squirrels play, to feel the wind on my face and the sunlight. And I thank you for that. I thank you for a brand new day and a brand new opportunity to live life on earth for you and with you. I thank you for the very presence inside of me, the Holy Spirit, God's dwelling in me. And I thank you for the opportunity to tap into that power that you have inside of me to use it to expand your kingdom and to continue to grow and to develop in my mind, body, and spirit. I thank you for each and every one that's engaged in this broadcast, Lord, all around the world, that you would heal and restore and help them to recover from whatever they're going through. We place all of that on the altar right now. Any distractions, Lord, any irritations, any financial woes, any sickness, any depression, any stress, Lord, right now, we come boldly to the throne of grace to place it at your feet. and never to grab it and take it away from your feet or to carry our burdens, Lord. Your word says, Lord, that your burden is light and your yoke is easy, Lord. That means that the heavy lifting and the hard work has already been taken care of. We just have to be in position to be obedient and to do our part, Lord, making disciples. All the sins have been died for. All the healing and all the power that is associated with that is tied to our elder brother Jesus when he rose from the grave. So we literally have no excuse with God's very presence and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us for those who are his children. We have no excuse. We can't say we can't do this, we can't do that, because with you, all things are possible. You continue to strengthen us and encourage us daily, and we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this service. We thank you for the word that Pastor O is going to bring us, Lord. We pray that you would encourage him and allow him to be a true vessel and deliver the word, Lord, clearly and concisely, Lord, for this audience that you designated for today. We say thank you, Lord, and we will always be careful to give you the honor and the praise and the glory that you deserve in how we live and not simply but how we speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
My life is not my own. To you we belong. I give myself to you. Power and prayer. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Jonathan Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Have a good day. I am truly enjoying this Sunday service, and I hope you are too. With more to come, I want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Sunday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessing. Amen. Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear to read scripture and to introduce the preacher of the hour is our very own Sister Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. Let us prepare to receive Deaconess June Rogers as she comes in her own unique way to introduce our speaker. Amen.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord.
Yo, here we are. Let us bow down before the Lord God, our Maker. Let's get intimate, yo. Let's worship Him.
Cast down my crown to worship you in spirit and truth. As I see you on the throne, I see your train fills the roof. I'm on bended knees, hands extended, closed eyes. Holy, holy, holy is Lord the Most High. Woe is me, I'm a man with unclean lips. And I live amongst the people who's on the same trip. Then when Sarah flew to me with coal in his hands, he touched me on my lips, said I was a brand new man. As the foundation shook, he's asking, who shall he send? I said, send me, Lord. The faithful man sometimes, Lord, I feel like I don't give you enough to count a pure joy, to persevere when times get tough. So I keep a concentrated relationship fixed on you. I keep my eyes to the hills so I can have a right view. I stand in awe of you, how you measure the earth with the palm of your hand, and yet and still you want to be friends with such an unclean man. So like John, I fall prostrate on this island of life. I worship you, recognizing you with power and might, glory and light, eternal in sight, blameless and right, creator of life, thief in the night, Jesus the Christ.
I see the Lord seated on the
divine works all around me. I can't get past the evidence, the fact that you're invisible to me is irrelevant. I know your heaven sent straight to the virgin birth. Gave me a second chance even after man's curse. A third, a fourth, a fifth, and a sixth. You wore my crown of thorns, you took my licks as they spit in your face. Off the cross of sin and you embraced. Now I understand what's the meaning of grace. I war against the flesh, can't wait till the day that you come. Cause every day I'm rewriting Psalm 51. From the weak to the dumb, you make us shine like pearls. Got a new engagement, broke up with that girl named World. The relationship wasn't fruitful, I was Satan's pupil. They told me you was an unfair God, I believe those lies. I know the truth now, cause you've been fair since creation. Man failing and you gave man emancipation. I know the saying, one sin can make man fall. But with one drop of blood, he can save us all. I'm a living sacrifice, I lay my life upon the altar. I pray to have faith that don't forsake you like a martyr. I have a desire, that's to know you more. I have no choice to live holy, cause I see the Lord.
I said.
whole earth is full of his glory, and the foundations of the threshold tremble at the voice of him who called out. While the temple was filled with smoke, I said to myself, woe is me, for I am ruined, because I'm a man with unclean lips, and I live amongst the people with unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one seraphim flew to me with burning coals in his hand. He touched me on my lips, said my iniquity is taken away and my sins forgiven. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? Who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me.
Wow. All I gotta say is, I hear Pastor O play that song before he's about to preach, Look Out. And I know whenever I hear that song, it just causes me to remember who God is, sitting on the throne. And then it makes me think of the scripture that says, who is man that you are mindful of him, of me, of you? Wow. Well, let's get ready for the word that Pastor O is going to preach. This will be part three of his sermon on the Apostle Paul. He's asked me to read once again 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. It is written, as for me, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add a blessing to the readers, hearers, and doers of his great word. On behalf of the entire Run of the Christ Ministries family, consistent with Psalm 118:26, we bless you from the house of the Lord. Welcome, everyone, as we are blessed to participate in this live broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Again, with respect to this word, it seems like Paul was giving a victory speech. I am sure if you are like me, you hope one day feel that you are so in tune to God and so obedient that you can profess you fought the good fight and faithful in finishing the race. Speaking of race, by now, I know everyone listening knows that Pastor O enjoys racing cars. When we're talking about racing, speed matters. Not only can speed be thrilling, but physically, it's how we're able to go faster. But spiritually, how can we move quicker? The powerful force of the Holy Spirit is how we can be propelled forward. Earlier, Deacon Mackey provided a teaching on the Holy Spirit, and he referenced Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We now pray for and pronounce that scripture over Pastor O as he comes. Pastor O, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So are you ready, set? Well, then go. Break the word down for us.
Amen. Thank you, Deaconess Dr. June Rogers. And tell my friend Ray Phil, Dr. Rogers, I said I. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in, and I'm still reeling from Deacon Mackey's class on the Holy Spirit. You know, he's my friend, my comforter, my guide, and he's been with me ever since 1975, and he has taught me everything that I know, and then he had me to send under this person and that person, but I thank God for the Holy Spirit. He has truly been my leader and my guide. I want to thank everybody who came before me. You did an awesome job. And I thank you for your participation, amen, in this service. It's not just a one-man show, but it's the body of Christ who meets in that local place called Runner for Christ Ministries. All of us like-minded believers who chose to meet in that certain locality that we do, and we thank God for you. We thank God for Blog Talk Radio and the folks at Blog Talk Radio who are extra kind to us. Amen. We thank God for them, and they've been blessed. We've been blessed to be blessed by them since 09. And when things go wrong, And Blog Talk Radio keeps it right. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today. And yes, we thank you that we get a chance to worship you. Father, we're worshiping you today in showing us spirit and in truth, because we're not corporately gathered together, but individually, okay, and collectively, we are all over the place, all over the planet. I want to send a shout out to all the listeners in Canada, South Korea, Great Britain, and where all over Africa and wherever you're listening today. Prince, whose last name I can't pronounce, my friend from Africa, I thank you for tuning in this morning and allowing those around you to hear this word. In Jesus' name, we pray and give thanks to you, Father, for what you're about to do. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you that my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to be made over by your word. So I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life is. In Jesus' name, amen. I always say this, after you said that, we could pretty much go home and let the Lord do all of that we just talked about. But how many know we ain't finna go home? Amen. Amen. Today I want to continue talking to you on this sermon series, the Apostle Paul. If you'd like to hear the beginning of these series, go to pastorgmo.com and just click on sermons, and you can do a review of parts 1 and 2. We also talked about Peter. Amen. Didn't spend that much time with him. I would have loved to, but it would probably take him, as far as Jesus could estimate, 15 weeks. And so here we have Paul, and just about 4 weeks, we can probably get that done a little bit. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity to preach about Peter and Paul, because they really take up the entire book of Acts. Okay, Peter preaches that first sermon. We heard Deacon Mackey talk about how he stepped out empowered by the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God. 3,000 people joined the church that day. And guess what happened the next day? In verse 42, it says they devoted themselves, amen, to the apostles' teaching, the apostles' doctrine. That meant they went to Bible class. Lord have mercy. Amen. That's what we should do. Once we get saved, we should go to Bible class. Don't just get saved and say, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. But say, thank you, Jesus, I'm saved. Now I get to learn about you. I get to learn how to live with you. That's what Sunday school and Bible class is all about. So Peter takes up the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, right? He's prominent in practically every one of those chapters. I think maybe 6 and 7, he might be a little absent. No, he's in 6. Maybe 7, because that's all about Stephen, right? One of those first deacons who was filled with the Holy Spirit. And those who came against him, they could not withstand Peter. They could not overcome Peter because of the Spirit by which he spoke, and that's the Holy Spirit. And the same thing he did for them, he can do for us. So Peter takes up the first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, and then he shows up for a little bit in Acts chapter 15. He appears at the first apostolic council. Okay, this is where Paul and Barnabas had gone on their first missionary journey. It lasted 3 years and encompassed about 1,400 miles, right? And so now they've come back to Antioch, and here's these folks talking about, you got to be a Jew and believe in Jesus, and you can be saved. Oh, Paul got into it, right, over in Antioch. So they went down to Jerusalem where Jesus' brother, James, you know, his half-brother, right, he was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. And so they went down there because also all the elders were there. Okay, those apostles who began the church. And so they went down there to have this first apostolic council to decide, how are we made right with God? Do we have to do this, 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 and that, and believe in Jesus, or do we just believe in Jesus? Well, long story short, after Peter talked about what happened at a man's name Cornelius' house, which you will find in Acts chapter 10, okay, his name is Cornelius. Peter went down there, preached to him. He was a Gentile and received the Holy Spirit. Peter gave them that account that happened down there at Cornelius' house, and this bolstered what Paul and Silas was doing, because all Peter did was preach what Jesus did, how he came here, he lived, and how he was arrested, and how he was crucified, and then raised on the third day. But before he could even get to open the door to the church, the Lord poured out the Holy Spirit on them, and as for evidence of the Holy Spirit being in them, they spoke in tongues. Unlike the first 3,000 that were saved, they didn't speak in tongues. Peter and the other 120 did, okay? But those at Cornelius' house spoke in tongues, but the 3,000 didn't. So we're not saying that speaking in tongues is evidence that you are saved, as some say. But that's just what some say. The Bible does not teach that, nor does it give evidence of everybody accepting Jesus Christ speaking in tongues, right? So they settled the issue. All we need to do is believe in Jesus. Now, of course, the Gentiles have some really strange behaviors. Their dealings with blood, and their dealings with strangled animals, and their dealings with sex. And so they admonished them to, you know, stay away from things strangled and blood, and from those habits they had around sex. Amen. Because in the Gentile world, they used it as a part of worship. Amen? Amen. So Paul is now through with the first missionary journey. Paul and Barnabas is now through with this meeting. And so they go around to spread to the churches in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, the results of this meeting. Amen? And so they have an idea to go on a second missionary journey. But Barnabas wants to bring his nephew, John. But John left them during the first missionary journey, and Paul has a problem with that. Well, the Bible tells us that the contention between them was so sharp that they had to be separated. And so Barnabas took Mark and went back to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas, and they started on the second missionary journey. They went over all the churches that he had founded on the first missionary journey. And then they were thinking, where do we go next? So they tried to go to a place called Bithynia. But the Holy Spirit said no. They tried to go through Mysia, but the Holy Spirit said no. And so they went down to Troas and met a friend there, and they stayed there. Now, while they were sleeping at night, amen, see, this is why you want to be in a real good relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia, and they were actually able to hear. Holy Spirit prevented them from going to the province of Bithynia, and they were actually able to hear them, okay, as well as Mysia. Then they went home. Went to the friend's house, Troas. Didn't know what to do, which way to go. And when we find ourselves in that situation, you ought to get happy. Why? Because Jesus is getting ready to show up. He's getting ready to show you which way to go. And we know from John chapter 16 that God the Father speaks to Jesus, God the Son, and God the Son speaks to the Holy Spirit who lives in us. As we just learned from Deacon Charles Mackey that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and took up residence inside of us. He's not just with us, but he lives in us. Amen. And so while they are down there at Troas, the Holy Spirit gives Paul a vision. And Paul sees a man over in Macedonia. And the man over in Macedonia says, come over here and help us. And so Paul comes to the conclusion that God was calling them to go to Macedonia, modern-day Greece, and preach the word there. Now, we know Macedonia, the first place they stopped was a place called Philippi. We talked about that in our last sermon. It was named after a man named Philip of Macedon. You might be familiar with Alexander the Great. He was Alexander the Great's father, okay? And so he founded a Roman colony, and they named that Roman colony Philippi. Amen? And that's how it got its name, or Philippi. That's what they would call it. But we, over here in America, we call it Philippi. Anyway, this is the first place that Paul goes to when he lands in Macedonia. He stops, though, before he gets there in that place where he was stoned. You remember, Lystra and Derbe on his first missionary journey. And he picks up a companion. His name is Timothy. His mother is a Jew, but his father is a Greek. Because Timothy is going to be traveling with him, he go ahead and have him circumcised so he don't have to deal with the Jews in that area. Why? Because they all knew his father was a Greek and his mother was a Jew. So to just squash that argument, he had Timothy circumcised. Now, they reached the city of Philippi, and we talked about this in our last installment, so we're going to pick up here. They had run into this girl. Her name was Lydia, this lady. Her name was Lydia. She's from the city of Thyatira, or Thyatira, and she's a seller, a merchant of expensive purple cloth, and who worshiped God. Now, when it says she worshiped God, okay, since she hadn't been preached, nobody had preached the gospel to her, right? When it says she worshiped God, that means she was either a God-fearer, and this is a person who was predisposed to like or liked Judaism, but hadn't taken the prerequisite rite of circumcision. You remember Moses? He said that if you, now she's a woman, so she wouldn't have to accept that, but she would have to accept the rules, regulations, and bylaws that any Jew would so that she could worship God, right? As a woman Israelite, okay? And so it says she worshiped God. We don't know if she was God-fearer. We know she didn't have to be a proselyte to Judaism, so we'd rather lean toward God-fearer, okay? That means she liked Judaism, okay, and the tenets of Judaism. But she listened to Paul and them while they were preaching, and the Bible says that the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying about Jesus Christ. And so she became a Christian. And since she was a Christian, she invited Paul and his companions to stay at her house. Every day they would go down to the river, and they would have prayer. They would sing some songs, and then there would be a priest's word. There would also be Bible classes. Paul was teaching them how to live for the Jesus that they had accepted. Amen? One day, as they were on their way there, every day when they were on their way there, this girl would pop out of nowhere. And she was filled with a demon. But she was a fortune teller. And she was a slave of these folks who lived in Philippi. And she followed them every day saying, "These are the men of God who show you the way to be saved." She was not helping them or being a herald for them, but she was harassing them. And that's the way it is when we try to go into a place where the devil has a foothold, where he got that place on lock. He will harass us. He will try to make us look bad. He will try to make or dissuade people from listening to us. And so we just have to, amen, stay focused and stay on the journey. And not let the devil dissuade us, amen, from doing the work that God has called us to do. When Paul had enough of that, when he became exasperated with what she was doing, he turned toward her and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly he left her. You're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. You know that demon wasn't scared of Paul. But it was the name Jesus Christ that they could not disobey. And so they left. Amen? Amen. That's just some of the power that we have from God. We saw that on Paul's first missionary journey when Elymas, or Bar-Jesus, tried to keep Sergius Paulus from hearing the word of God. And then Paul said through the Spirit, you're going to be blind. And he was blind. Amen. God will give us the power we need to do the work that he's called us to do. Don't ever believe that you don't have the power to do what God has called you to do. It does not matter what the Lord called you to do. If Jesus told his disciples, and he did, he said, if you say to this mountain, be removed into the sea, and if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, amen, that mountain going into the sea. And so Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit, commanded the demon to come out of her. You remember when Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, and they came back, and they said, even the demons were subject unto us. They knew that even though they lived in the material physical world, God gave them power to rule over the wicked spiritual world. We're told that over in Ephesians chapter 6. It says that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but people be doing it all the time. He did that on purpose. She did that on purpose. No, you wrestling with who's against you. And it's not them, because guess what? If they were going up out of this world, the devil would just raise up some more spiritual wickedness in high places. But guess what? Here's the good news, and Paul just used it. God has given us his armor to protect us. Okay? So they cast the demon out of this girl, and you think everything is wonderful, right? Everything's awesome, right? No, it's not. Remember I told you she belonged to somebody. She had a master, and they made great gain from her telling people's fortunes. That's why you should not be involved in astrology. You should not be involved in soothsaying or fortune-telling. Nothing to do with Madame Cleo, that whole group. Why? Because they're demonic. God does not need psychics to tell us what we are going to do. He has prophets to tell us what we're going to do. We'll see that in Acts chapter 20, amen, where Paul says of himself that the Holy Spirit tells me that only chains and prisons await me in every city I go to. But then in Acts chapter 21, a man named Agabus, a prophet named Agabus, shows up and takes his belt off and wraps it all around himself and says, this is what the Jews going to do to this man in Jerusalem, to the person who owns this belt. So what we see there is a prophet who has come and informed Paul about what's going to happen in his future. That same prophet previously in the scripture shows up and says, there will be a great famine in all the land. And there was, you know, a prophet was only a true prophet if what they said came true. Amen? So remember that. God will tell you first, and then he'll send the prophet to confirm to you what he has said. And not the other way around. The prophet cannot show up and tell you something that you ain't ever heard from the Lord yourself. If so, you're about to get hoodwinked, bamboozled. Don't feel like Plymouth Rock all up on your back. Amen? So her owners got mad because their little fortune-telling machine is broke. And so they go to the magistrates and they say, these men, now watch what they accuse them of, these men are here advocating customs and a way of living that's illegal for us Romans to even talk about. Notice they didn't say, these men came here, cast the devil out of my fortune-telling machine and broke it, and I'm mad, and I want you to do something. That's literally what happened, but that's not what they said. They knew that if they accused them of having done something against Rome, those Gentile magistrates would get, oh, Lord, we can't have this happening. And so they had them beat and thrown in jail. Amen. Amen. They had them beat and thrown in jail. Amen. Now, here's Paul and Silas on their first, second missionary journey, and they've preached the word, they've cast a demon out of a girl, folks got saved, and they end up in jail. Amen. When you're really doing the Lord's work, guess what? You're going to recognize that the devil is your adversary, and he goes about like a roving lion looking for people to devour. Amen. Not people to trip up, causing a slip up, but people to devour. He is our enemy. And so he did not like what Paul, the devil was happy. I got Philippi on lock. These people belong to me. When they die, they all going straight to hell. But now here, Paul and Silas have showed up. And they're preaching the word. They're casting my boys out. They going to jail. And so they locked them up without a trial. But what they don't know, Paul got a secret that they wish they're going to wish they knew once he get out, right? So Paul's got a secret, but he ain't telling it right now. What would you do? Amen. If you're preaching and teaching the word of God and you find yourself locked up, what would you do if you're Martin Luther King and you're walking around peacefully protesting, okay, nonviolent protesting in the spirit of, I guess you could say, Gandhi, passive resistance, as Jesus taught us, right, turn the cheek. What would you do if you find yourself sitting in a Birmingham jail? You know what he did? I got his book that he wrote while he was sitting in the Birmingham jail. That's what you do. What did Paul and Silas do when they were locked up? They didn't just put them in jail, but they put them in the inner jail because they did not want them to escape. And so the jailer wanted to make sure that they would be there in the morning when he got there, so he put them in the inner dungeon. Let me tell you, they were sitting in a dungeon where they don't come get you and take you to the bathroom. They got arrested around noon. Amen. But we don't hear nothing from them again until midnight. So between noon and midnight, they had no bathroom breaks. We can't hold it that long. That's 12 hours. Amen. So they are in a horrible situation. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink, no bathroom breaks. Oh, did I tell you they got rats in the cell? And since the rats have been there longer than you, they're familiar with once your feet get in the stocks, because their feet was fastened in the stocks and their hands was chained to the walls. They couldn't move. So the rats just fed on them as they wanted to. That's what happened when you get locked up in the dungeon. Amen. What would you do? What would you be thinking about Jesus at a time like that? You know what they did? They sang praises to God at midnight. In a situation like that, as horrible as it was, they sang praises to God at midnight. Oh, that we could trust the Lord like that when we start going through stuff. If we could believe that the devil have somehow crept up in here and did all this, but we somehow remember that God is good, and even though we fastened our feet in the stocks and our hands chained to the wall, God is good and God all the time. Guess what they did? They sang praises at midnight. When it was about as dark as it could possibly get, they sang praises to God. See, if you want to bring some light into your situation, start praising God in your situation. Like Isaac Kyrie say in this song, I dare you to praise God in the middle of it. Amen. Well, guess what happened? All his praise is going on. Jesus just all over the throne because he's sitting in his father and told him to sit here till I make your enemies your footstool. Jesus just moving all around. Next thing I know, the jail all tore up. Everybody's chains fell off. All the feet that was in the stocks just became free. Amen. Now watch what happens, brothers and sisters, when we praise God instead of flipping and tripping when something happened. When we praise God, like Isaac Kyrie saying his song, in the middle of it and not wait. See, we want to praise God when we get out of it, but he praised him in the middle of it. Well, guess what happened? Everybody was set free. There was an earthquake that tore up the jail, but not the people. Didn't hurt one person in there. Now, I want to show you what happens when you remain faithful to God, when you keep trusting God even though you're going through. You don't deny the fact that you're going through. You just rise above it and know that God is good and God is good all the time. They knew that and they practiced that. And guess what? The jail got tore up. The Bible tells me everybody got saved. Amen. Everybody got saved. The jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And then he brought them out and asked, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You know what they told him? They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved along with everyone in your household. And they shared the word of the Lord with him who had beat him and thrown him in jail. and with all who lived in his household. Even at that hour of night, the jailer cared for them. See what Jesus will do? The person who locked you up, the person who had you beat and put fasten your feet in the stocks and chained your hands to the wall, well, now he's washing your wounds. And then everyone in his household was immediately back. They're having a baptismal service in the middle of the night. It ain't even morning yet. Remember, all this happened at midnight. Maybe it's about 1 o'clock because, you know, Paul preached long. Amen. He brought him into the house, set a meal before him, and he and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God. Why? Because Paul and Silas refused to hang their heads because of the situation they were in. They didn't just say God is good and God is good all the time. They demonstrated it. Amen. And folks saw it. Amen. So Paul leaves there, goes to a place called Thessalonica. Amen. And while in Thessalonica, he ran into those troublemakers. But some of the Jews were jealous, so they gathered some troublemakers from the marketplace to form a mob and start a riot. Amen. So he had a lot of trouble in Thessalonica, but he was able to do some work there. He was able to plant a church there. We have two books, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that he wrote to this church to help them understand, to admire them for their ability to withstand persecution. Okay, and while they're under persecution, they continued with loving deeds, okay, and then their adherence to Jesus Christ, their endurance. Brothers and sisters, we have to learn how to endure. You only need to read 1 and 2 Thessalonians to see what they had to endure. And he wrote to them to help them understand the end times. So he was able to accomplish a lot of work there. But Satan popped up, and he gathered up some people. And they raised up these people against Paul and Silas. And so they had to leave there. Amen. But a lot of the folks there, amen, got saved. He goes to a place called Berea after that. And in Berea, Paul says about them that they were more noble, more willing to listen than those folks over in Thessalonica. This is what the Lord wished and prayed that we would do. Time out for us just going to church and hearing sermons. Time out for us just sitting in Bible classes and taking copious notes. Time out for us just doing that. Amen. And having what some call a hearsay gospel. And that's what most folks have. They have a hearsay gospel. It's what they heard their pastor say. It's what they heard that person on the radio or the television say. Amen. It's what they heard their Bible teacher say. But it's not something that they searched out on their own. Amen. But these Bereans, all they had was the Old Testament to test what Paul said by the scriptures. And that's exactly what they did. After they heard the sermon in church, after they heard the Bible class, they went home. And the Bible says they searched the scriptures day after day. Lord, help us if we could learn to go to Bible class more than just one day a week. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. And as a result, many Jews believed, as did many of the prominent Greek women and men, all because they heard a sermon, they received it, went home and searched it out, then they believed it. But see, most of us, like I say, we got a hearsay gospel. It's what we heard somebody else say about Jesus. It's not something we opened up the Bible. It's what my mama said. I heard my mama say that. I heard my daddy say that. I heard my auntie and uncle say that. I heard my friends, family members say that. Amen. But like Jesus said to his own disciples, I know what men say about me. But who do you say that I am? That's the question. Not what my mama said about me, what did my daddy say about me, but who do you say that I am? After there, Paul goes on to Athens. Athens, we've all heard about Athens, right? When he goes to Athens, as he walks around the city, he notices that they have a god for everything. They even had a god, okay, an altar built to the unknown god. They assume there has to be a god out there that we don't know. Now, there are in Athens some Epicurean and Stoic philosophers. And when they heard Paul talking about Jesus, talking about the Gospels, they didn't understand what he was talking about. And so they said, what is this babbler saying? And some said he's advocating foreign gods. What they meant by that is he's preaching about gods that we don't know about. They weren't talking about him. Amen? But they were just saying, we don't understand these gods you're talking about. And they went as far as to invite him to come to one of their meetings so he could fully explain about this God that they were talking to. Now, you're talking about some sermon skills, forensic skills, and with Paul's immense intellect, oh, none of that's going to come to bear here. Why? Because these are Gentiles. They don't know anything about Judaism, and they don't practice it. These are not God-fearers. These are not proselytes to Judaism. These are straight-up Gentiles, okay? So he goes to the council called the Areopagus, and they wanted to hear about what he was talking about more plainly. Make it plain for us, Paul. Break it down for us, Paul. So he did. Now, he tells them, as I was walking around, I saw your many shrines. He's trying to be nice with it, right? Your many shrines. And one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown god. This god whom you worship without knowing is the one I want to tell you about. Amen. Listen to me, brothers and sisters in Christ. The Lord God that we serve, the Lord God our Father, and God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, people don't know about. Amen. They're like the Ethiopian. When Philip asked him, do you know what you're reading? He said, how can I? Unless some man explains it to me. In other words, he didn't have the Holy Spirit. So even though he was reading the Bible, he couldn't get the Bible because as we heard Rebecca Johnson read, Sister Johnson, when she was reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these things are spiritually discerned. Verse 10 tells us these are the things that God has revealed to us. How? By his Holy Spirit. So if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't know. So the one that they were worshiping ignorant, Paul tells them about him. In short, I ain't going to preach his whole sermon, but he didn't talk to them like he would to Jews. Amen. The Holy Spirit had him to pick a way in, and that way in was that unknown God. And he made that unknown God the God we know. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he's the Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples. And we thank Jesus live in our church. We think when we leave church, Jesus sit there and wait for us to come back next Sunday or whenever we have a Bible class. Amen. He tells them that God and human hands can't serve God's needs. And that's why we need to stop saying, I'm going to church to serve Jesus. Jesus, what you going to get? What Jesus needs, you don't have. You know why? Because the Bible says, for he has no needs. So he don't need you to do nothing for him. Okay? He has no needs. And he wants them to understand that. What he is trying to do is to get them to understand that the God who created them is the true and living God. And he does not live in that. They worship those temples. They worship their idols. But what do you think they felt like when they said God don't live in a temple? What do you think the Jews thought when they thought when they hear this, when they know that the Shekinah glory hovered over the Ark of the Covenant of God? What do you mean he don't live in the temple? God lives in a new temple, and that temple is the human beings. He closes this sermon out by telling them, look, in the past, God overlooked people's ignorance about the things in earlier times, but now, he's commanding everyone to repent of their sins and turn to him. Amen. And he closes this sermon out by telling them that God has set a day when he's going to judge the whole earth by the one man, Jesus, who he raised from the dead. Of course, after this, the Greeks, being funny about things, about the resurrection, not believing in people coming back from the dead, a lot of them just got up and walked off. But some did get saved. That tells us that no matter who we are or how we preach, we're not going to reach everybody. Even Jesus with the rich young ruler, amen, he preached to him. He tried to draw him in. It didn't work. The rich young ruler rode away. Now, look, you know Jesus can preach and reach. You know Paul can preach and reach. But let me tell you something. We're not going to get everybody. Only God knows who we're going to get. And we might not get them the first time we preach to them. We might plant the seed and somebody else come along and put some water on that seed because they're trying to bring them in. But then maybe some years later, they come in under somebody who barely even talked to them. That's because they were already primed and made ready to come in right at the right time. But we should never give up. Paul didn't give up preaching because the Greeks didn't believe. Paul didn't give up. Jesus didn't give up preaching because the rich young ruler walked off. Amen. He just kept on preaching to see who God would call. And that's what we should do. Plant seeds. And if you run across that seed again, put some water on it. Only God, as 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us, can give the increase. You can't preach somebody saved. You can't teach somebody saved. Amen. Only the Holy Spirit. You remember when we were in Deacon Mackey's class this morning, right? And they got to the end down there and 3,000 people joined the church. You know how that happened? They were convicted in their hearts by who? The Holy Spirit. When Peter preached the word of God, the Holy Spirit did what the Bible tells us he would do. I believe it's in chapter 16, and he says, when the Holy Spirit come, he shall convict men of sin. You can harp on somebody all you want, but you can't convict them of sin, but the Holy Spirit can. He can touch that heart and give them a heart to believe. He can make them, he can validate the words that are coming out of your mouth, just like he did for Peter. And they said after they heard Peter, they were cut to the heart. Peter couldn't cut them to the heart, but the Holy Spirit could, and he did. Amen. So after leaving Greece, Paul continues on we're into his first missionary journey. Amen. Well, we've been through the first, we're into the second, and we're headed for the third. Paul goes to Corinth. Corinth is a whole different place. Corinth is a whole different animal. Corinth was a seaport town. And so Corinth, being a seaport town, when folks came in, they did what they do in seaport towns. When I was in the Navy and we got liberty to go and party. And so when folks came to Corinth, what they did is they came to party, and they partied. In Corinth, they had a temple to Aphrodite, okay? You could call her the goddess of sex. And so in the temple in Corinth, they had 1,000 temple priestesses. Today we would call it the Mustang Rats. Amen? Today we would call it a brothel. But they called it church. They called it worship. Amen? And into this place, Paul goes. But Corinth is so bad, as I come to a close, because I'll be finishing off next week, but as I come to a close, Corinth was so bad that Paul was about to leave. You say, Pastor, how do you know he was about to leave? Well, if you look in chapter 18, verses 9, 10, and 11, you'll see what I'm talking about. One night, the Lord Jesus, who has ascended and sitting at the right hand of the Father, spoke to Paul in a vision and told him, now listen to the three things Jesus tells him. Don't be afraid. That tells us Paul was afraid. Jesus says, speak out. That tells us Paul was about to not speak out. Jesus says, don't be silent. That means Paul was like, I'm not going to talk a whole lot around here. And in verse 10, Jesus tells him, for I am with you. And no, Paul must have thought Jesus wasn't in a place like that. You ever go somewhere and think Jesus ain't in this place? You're wrong. And no one will attack and harm you. Paul needed to be encouraged because he knew these people are different than anywhere I've been, and I think I need to shut up and get up out of here. But Jesus tells him, for many people in this city belong to me. And so guess what Paul did? He stayed there for the next year and a half teaching the word of God. Amen. Paul has gone a long way in these first two missionary journeys. Now, his first missionary journey was 1,400 miles, lasted 3 years. This one is 3,000 miles. Amen? And more time spent than the first one. What is this saying to us? All of us should be at work for the Lord just like Paul. All of us should be going from here and there and everywhere, spreading the word. Now, Paul was a tent maker by trade. That's what he did to make money. All of us have jobs. But guess what Paul did while he was on his job? He spoke to those who were coming to buy tents or who just might be in the vicinity where they could hear him preaching or teaching. The Bible says your gift will make room for you. To me, that means the gift that God has given me will get me into places where I can preach the word of God. As we get into his final missionary journey on his way to Rome, because he leaves Corinth and goes back to Antioch. And then he leaves Antioch and goes on to his third missionary journey, which starts in the latter part of chapter 18 and continues on all the way up, I believe, until chapter 21, amen, before he makes his way back to Jerusalem. And that's where we'll pick this up on next week. Amen. I wish I had more time, but I don't. So I thank God for what he has given us. And I pray that you come to understand that these people we read about in the Bible, the Lord is giving us an example of what he wants us to be, what he wants us to do. We should carry the word of God with us wherever we go. The Bible literally says, always be ready to give an account of the hope that is in you through Christ Jesus. That means we ought to be ready to preach at the drop of a dime, ready to teach at the drop of a dime. That means first, though, we got to study. 2 Timothy 2:15, to show ourselves approved unto God and become workmen who don't need to be ashamed, but in fact those who can rightly divide the word of truth, just like Paul did. Whatever venue you find yourself in, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you words to speak to that audience. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for guiding us through the Bible. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for showing us Peter and showing us Paul and how this church got started. We stand on the backs of those who you made the foundation. Of course, Jesus is the foundation, and you've called all of us to be builders, as you said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, to build not with wood, hay, and stubble, but to build with things that don't perish, things that last forever. Because all the work we're going to do for you, Jesus, will be put through the fire. And if it comes out on the other side, we get to keep it, like you said. Use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself. So when it's gone, you'll be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but do lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths, rust, nor thieves break through and steal. Concentrate on what we get to keep forever and not the things that we have temporarily. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for you. We've received the Holy Spirit. Now let us witness in the power of the Spirit. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Wow. And the mic has been dropped. Wow. The mic has been dropped. I am not going to add anything to what you said, Pastor, but I will say, for those who didn't listen to the Saturday worship service yesterday, you might want to go back and listen to that. There's been a theme this weekend about praising God and worshiping the Lord and the Holy Spirit and allowing him to use you in the way in which that you were created. We all have a purpose. We all have a race we have to run. We all have things that we have to do. And so the Holy Spirit is what's going to be there and dwelled in you to allow you to do what God has asked you and created you to do. So if you didn't listen to yesterday's show, please listen to yesterday's show. Today has been an amazing worship service. We have not been on here on a Sunday in quite some time, but everything has happened the way that it needed to. Bible class this morning, Sunday school this morning was amazing. The service has been amazing. And so now here I am to bring you some announcements. Amen. So, of course, Pastor, we want to thank you for bringing us the word today. Awesome as always. So just a few announcements for you all. Of course, if we would have been in the building today, we know that Sunday school for the adults is upstairs at 9 a.m., and the children would have gone downstairs at 10 a.m., but they'll be back for that soon. Amen. Another quick reminder, if you didn't hear yesterday, today, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn's show, Bring Back the Family, is canceled. So she normally has her show here on Blog Talk Radio on Sundays at 4 o'clock, but today, class for Bring Back the Family is canceled. Amen? Amen. Another reminder that church history class is on and popping. Amen. It happens on Mondays at 6 p.m. We know that Pastor O is the teacher. It's not too late to get into the class. So the textbook for the class is entitled The Church That Jesus Christ Built. It is a book written by Pastor O. If you want to participate and you need the book, please visit Pastor O's website, www.pastorgmo.com. That's Pastor God, my owner, gmo.com. Or, Lord willing, if we are in the church building next Sunday, you can see Sister Sheila, and she will also be able to get you a book. If for whatever reason you can't attend the live classes, all of the classes will be recorded and posted on our church website every week at rfcm.org. Just go to the Bible classes link and then click on History of the Christian Church Recorded. You can do that at a time that is more convenient for you. Amen? Amen. Also, don't forget, every Wednesday at 6 o'clock p.m., we have our Bible reading class. The questions are available by email if you are on Pastor's email list, or online, again, rfcm.org. Just click on the Bible classes tab. Normally, when we're in church on Sundays, they're also on the back table, and you can grab them either on your way in or on your way out of the sanctuary. Also, don't forget, on Saturdays at 11:30 a.m., Pastor Janice Tate has her women's Bible class through Bondage Breaker Ministries. For more information to participate, there's a in-person way, and there's a call-in way that you can participate. So if you want to get in on the women's Bible class that happens every Saturday at 11:30 a.m. with Pastor Janice Tate, please make sure to reach out to Janice Tate, Pastor Janice Tate, and she will get you hooked up with her class. Amen? If you want to pay your tithes or give any offerings, again, rfcm.org is the church website. Just click on tithes and offerings. And so we just want to say the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with everyone else that we are enabled to help through your consistent and generous giving. Also want to put out there to please, 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 especially Run for Christ Ministry members, please don't forget to check out our church website. Again, everyone should know it by heart, rfcm.org. Our website has come a long, long way. Pastor puts in so much work. And so just go to the website, look around, bless yourself on purpose. Just check it out. There's jobs on there. There are resources on there. There's so many things. There's recorded classes, all of our Blog Talk classes, our services. Everything is on Blog Talk Radio, and it's all on our church website, going back all the way to 2009 when it was just Pastor on here doing What the Bible Says every 2 hours for years on end. Amen. So if you're just coming into the body of Christ, again, bless yourself on purpose. You can get your whole Christian life together just by listening to the Blog Talk classes and services. And again, they're always recorded, archived, and best of all, they are free. Amen? Amen. We always, you know, want to shout out all of our mothers at Run for Christ Ministries, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, Mother Persia. Like I said, we always have at least one of them holding it down on Sundays for all the moms. So please always keep them, as well as all of RFCM members, in your prayers. Continue to pray for everyone, everywhere, all of the time, those who are sick, those who are shut in. The list we know can go on and on and on. Normally when we're in service, there is a list on the projector when we get ready to do altar call. So just kind of go back in your mind and remember those names that are on there. God knows. And so we just want to keep everyone lifted up in prayer. Also, we do want to say special prayers go out to the father of our church, Amen, Tyrone Hamilton. He is in intensive care at Beaumont Hospital in Wayne. So we just want to continue to keep him in prayer, as well as Mother Cheryl. It was so good to hear that song that she used to sing, Nobody Greater. I can see her when that song was playing. I saw her standing up there singing so confidently at that microphone. So it was most definitely awesome to hear that song and to think about her. And we miss her and we love her. And so we know that she is doing what she's being asked to do. And so we just want to keep her and Tyrone and all of our mothers and all of our families and everything lifted up in prayer. Amen. Also, we want to pray for Mr. John McFall, who's home recovering. Continue to pray for those who you see and you don't see on Sundays. Just keep everybody lifted in prayer. There was a horrible hurricane down there that came through Florida, North, South Carolina. I think it was Hurricane Ian, I believe. A lot of devastation. There's been earthquakes and all types of stuff just happening. God sees everything. We don't. And just like Pastor said, we're not responsible for fixing everything and getting everybody saved and doing everything. We just don't have the power and the capacity to do that. But we have the Holy Spirit. And so we have to do what he's asked us and called us to do. Amen. So just continue to keep everyone lifted up in prayer. Amen. Amen. So, because we're on Blog Talk Radio, we will say happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week, or if they're celebrating today. On Sundays, we announce Run for Christ Ministry birthdays because, hey, that's who we are. Amen. Run for Christ Ministry. Amen. So today, Pastor Terrence Tate is celebrating his birthday. So we want to say happy birthday to him, Pastor Janice Tate. She will be celebrating her birthday on tomorrow. We got Quinalia and Deaconess Loretta Welch celebrating their birthdays on the 15th. And we got baby Jedediah. He is so cute. He always makes his way up to Pastor. He got running in his feet, not like Pastor say. And he makes it all the way up that aisle to Pastor while he's preaching on Sundays. So he will be one on the 16th of October. So, again, we just want to say happy birthday, much love, hugs, and kisses to all of you. Amen. Now, normally on Sundays, I don't read a devotional, but, again, because we're on Blog Talk Radio, I want to take the time to read one because it's fitting and because the Holy Spirit told me to. Amen. So your devotional for today is by our very own Pastor O, and it's entitled Be Encouraged. Amen. He sent this out earlier this week, and it's just fitting to close out the service for today. So it says, church, be encouraged, the future glory. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 30. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We, too, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Amen, amen. And those are your announcements.
Amen. Thank you, Crystal. Appreciate that. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Absolutely, you're welcome.
Tell me, we said, hey, hey, hey.
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Crystal. Love you.
You're welcome. Love you, too.
Amen. We thank God for each and every one of you who tuned in. And we're taking this time again to talk about Peter and Paul, because sometimes in the church we can get kind of mixed up as to what we're supposed to be doing. We love to hear the sermons, and there's a place for that that inspire us and encourage us. Amen. But there's a work that we have to do. You know, we weren't given the Holy Spirit to just sit on the pew and chew and that's all we do. We were given the Holy Spirit so we would have power to become, as Deacon Mackey taught us, witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's the reason we don't have the power to pray to Jesus to get houses, cars, and clothes and running for Christ. We call that retarded Christianity. That means you're doing it backwards. You know, Jesus told us in Matthew 6, 33 how to get houses, cars, and clothes. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all that stuff will just be added to you. So that means we are freed up from chasing that, okay, because he says earlier, previous to that verse in 32, that the pagans chase after stuff like that, not believers. Believers receive it. As far back as the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 28, the Lord says, if you fully obey and carefully follow all the stuff I'm telling you today, blessings will run you down and overtake you. That's what Matthew 6:33 is telling us. Amen. So we've been given the Holy Spirit so that we can go out and be witnesses for Jesus Christ. Don't let a week go by and you don't tell nobody about Jesus. Don't go to work and tell nobody about Jesus. And like Mother Marilyn said, Marilyn Overall, amen, she told us that you can do it without words. And we back that up with 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, quiet life, mind your own business, work with your own hands, get the respect of them on the outside. You won't be dependent on anybody. Amen. So, yes, the Lord wants us to know your breakthrough is coming. Yes, the Lord wants us to know here come your chains, amen, or whatever it is, amen. But if you're not telling people about Christ, if you're not teaching folks in Christ, if you're not helping people in or outside the body of Christ, you're not doing anything for Jesus. You're focused on yourself, as James tells us. Amen. We don't want what we want to serve God, but we want what we want to consume it upon our own lust. So what happens when our lust comes what God lusts after? The Lord lusts after those, amen, who he wants to be saved. And that's why he sent Peter to the Jews and sent Paul to the Gentiles, so that the whole Roman world would hear the word of God and be saved. Amen. We're not going to be able to save everybody, but we will save some. Amen. We would like to thank all of RFCM members, partners, friends, and the guests who tuned into our Blog Talk Worship Service this Saturday and the Sunday School. And may God bless each and every one of you. We truly thank God for you. Pray that we be back in church on next week. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. God keep you. I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for getting all the participants in the service together. Amen. I want to thank Sister Rebecca Johnson for coming on and doing the scripture and prayer. And I want to thank Assistant Pastor Jonathan Tate for showing up for altar call. And again, my girl Crystal, amen, with announcements and sermons and Bible classes. I want to thank God for her. And my reader, Deaconess June Rogers, amen. Yes, she reads for me in church and everywhere I preach. I even preached a homegoing celebration for her brother, amen. And she even got me a stand-in reader, Deaconess Kathy Clyburn. Amen. So God bless you and God keep each and every one of you. Continue to pray for Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, Deaconess Lika Thornton, Sister Alice Perry, amen, as they are away on a retreat. And we pray that God take them there. They have an awesome time. And on their way back, keep them until they get back and we're all back together. Amen. Amen. And now for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Until we all meet again, the whole church said, amen.
Time to say goodbye for now. We'll have our second time around. But before you go, there's something I'd like to say. Everything's not what it seems. There's a stronger force behind the scenes. He's in our lives every day. He's right there when we call. In him is where my strength lies. I lift my eyes beyond the sky. Only he can save my life, and only he can hear my cry. I wanna thank you, God, for giving me one more day to raise my voice and to sing your praise. I sing it out loud. I sing it all day. Everlasting.
gave me your love. You gave me your son. Now I say amen.